This episode of Check the Locks is brought to you by our friends at Audible.
Audible is your one-stop shop for audio entertainment where you can always find the best of what you love or discover something new.
That's right. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from mysteries, thrillers, biographies, and of course, true crime.
And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month from their catalog to keep forever, including the latest bestsellers and new releases.
Audible members also get access to thousands of podcasts from popular favorites, exclusive new series, and this very podcast you're listening to now.
Plus, the Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking the dog, doing chores, Audible makes listening anywhere easy.
And best of all, Check the Locks listeners can try Audible for free for 30 days. So head over to audibletrial.com/checkthelocks or click the link in the show notes to start enjoying Audible today.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks podcast. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. Olivia, before we get started, as always, wonderful to see you. How are you? How has your week been?
I'm good. It's the weekend and it's just the start of my off week. So kind of lazy today, but it's going to be a good week. How are you? How's the pup?
Pup is doing good. Everyone is doing well. We actually went and visited the friends today that we got the puppy from. So she got to see mom and brother and, you know, we got together with some friends. All the kids got together and went swimming in the kiddie pool. And I bought them all like the Spider-Man ice cream heads like you get on the ice cream truck. So They were covered in ice cream and jumping in and out of the pool was fun. It was a good day.
Sounds like a great day.
My like total dad mode comes out. I'm like, well, now we got to hose all you kids down. Like, we're going to like line them up and just get everything out. There's this one little girl there that I was like, what's up, dude? She's like, don't call me dude. So for the entirety of the day, I was like, what's up, dude? She's like, call me ma'am.
Dude.
Yeah, she's like 5 years old. She told me to call her ma'am. I was like, whoa, all right. Much respect.
A little aggressive, but I can respect it.
Yeah, it was nice. And, you know, that summer weather is finally starting to get here, which is good. So, you know, just excited to be able to get the kids outside, let them play and stuff like that. But it's been a good weekend.
Good, good. Well, what'd you bring for us this week?
Well, speaking of kids, this is a pretty intense case. And I'm going to bet that you haven't heard of it, but I'm a little iffy because before I really dug into it, I saw a few things on social media. And so I'm wondering if you know this case or as we go through it, if you know it and you just don't know that you know it. So I don't know if you got a chance to take a look at my notes or anything like that, but does anything look familiar?
No, I don't ever look at your notes. You know, I like the surprise factor.
That's true. You do like to find out as we go through, but I'm super excited to get into it. As I was researching, I was like, man, this is pretty brutal. And I do want to give our listeners a warning. Like it is a brutal case. So, you know, again, if you rock with us, you know, sometimes we get into things that are a little graphic, but, you know, still very, very interesting. So I don't know. What do you think? Should we just get into it and break down this week's story?
Yeah, let's get started.
All right, let's do it. For this week's case, we're heading to Andover, Massachusetts. 24-year-old Colleen Ritzer was a ninth grade math teacher at Danvers High School. Born on May 3rd, 1989, Colleen had graduated from Assumption College in 2011. And in 2013, she had been pursuing a graduate degree from Salem State College. Colleen was friendly and outgoing. She loved spending time with family and friends, and at school, she was a beloved member of the faculty. She was a passionate teacher who never minded staying late to help a student with their math work. But on October 22nd, 2013, when Colleen didn't return home from school, her family knew that something was wrong. and she was immediately reported missing. To find out what could have happened to Colleen, police had to go back to the last place that she was seen, Danvers High School. Authorities spoke with members of the faculty and students, and according to a teen at the school, Colleen had complimented a student's drawing. She then asked that same teen to stay after class to prepare for a math test. This student was 14-year-old Philip Chisholm. Now, Chisholm was born on January 21st, 1999, and his childhood had been quite chaotic. At a young age, his mother left his father and moved in with friends in Tennessee. Later, Chisholm and his mother would move to Florida to live with his grandfather. They would eventually return to Tennessee, where Chisholm, his mother, and two sisters would share one bedroom. Because of the cramped living situation, he would often spend time with friends and participate in their family events. Chisholm's mother and father had a history of separating and reconciling. The couple had filed for a legal separation in 2001. Additionally, two petitions for divorce had been filed, one in 2011 and the other in 2013. And in the fall of 2013, Chisholm, his mother, and his sisters relocated to Massachusetts. Now, classmates knew little about the new student. Chisholm was described as antisocial, but he excelled on the school's soccer team. Now, on the day in question, another student had heard the pair talking when he stayed after class. According to the witness, Chisholm had been seen getting noticeably upset when Colleen Ritzer asked about the move from Tennessee. She quickly tried to change the subject, but Chisholm was later seen seeming frustrated and talking to himself. Police learned that, like Colleen, Philip never returned home from school on October 22nd, and he too was reported missing. After speaking with students and coworkers, police found blood inside a woman's bathroom at the school. They also recovered Colleen's bloody clothing, shoes, and a recycling bin and some brush near a cross-country path used by the school. But to find out exactly what could have happened to the teacher, authorities decided to review the school's newly installed security cameras for any potential clues. And what they witnessed was horrifying. On that October morning, footage showed Philip Chisholm arriving at school with several bags. He could be seen walking to his locker and tucking them away. But what police didn't know yet was inside were gloves, a change of clothing, and a box cutter. As they continued to review the footage, they witnessed Colleen Ritzer exiting the classroom. And at about 2:54, she could be seen walking toward the restroom on the school's second floor. At that same time, Philip Chisholm could be seen walking into the same hallway, watching Colleen as she headed towards the restroom. In the video, Chisholm quickly ducked back into the classroom, only to reemerge with his hood pulled over his head. As he followed the teacher, Chisholm was observed pulling on a pair of gloves. He followed Colleen into the school's bathroom, and once inside, Chisholm brandished the box cutter. He ordered the teacher to hand over her credit cards, iPhone, and panties. Colleen complied. And it was then that 14-year-old Philip Chisholm proceeded to rape his teacher. When he was finished, Chisholm stabbed Colleen Ritzer with the box cutter. Not once, not twice, but 16 times in the neck, bringing Colleen's short life to a tragic end. So, Olivia, before we continue, what are you thinking? Where's your head at?
John, these last two cases you've brought have just been, I don't know what to say. You know, I said some cuss words last week on our Short on Time, and I kind of feel the same this week. But that is just, that's brave that he murdered the teacher at school at 2:54 p.m. Like, school's hardly even let out. Like, kids are still lingering around. Teachers are still around, especially this school might, I mean, what time does this school even get out, you know? And I don't get why just one conversation would throw him off like this, where he would just attack her so quickly and so brutally.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit more as we go through, but I did not get the impression that it was that conversation. It okay. seems that maybe this was a plan from the beginning for some reason, but I'm with you. Like, when I went to high school, we had all sorts of clubs. We had like after school programs, you know, there was improv club, there was, you know, all sorts of stuff. And, you know, there'd be kids at the school till, you know, 5 p.m.
Yeah, there's kids there all evening.
Yeah. So to be that brazen to just be like, I'm just going to follow her into the bathroom and then you know, I think like last week's case too, like it's just a lot of overkill, you know? And I promise it hasn't been intentional. I've just been kind of like digging in, being like, oh, this looks interesting. And then it just so happens that they've been very, very brutal. So I apologize, but, you know, I definitely, you know, think it's interesting. And if you want to keep going, we can, you know, dive right back in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, in the video, a female student could be seen walking into the bathroom during the attack and immediately walking back out. When questioned by the police, the witness shared that she had entered the bathroom and saw balled up clothing on the floor. She shared that it appeared that someone was nude in a stall, and she assumed that it was another student getting changed. Now, again, in the video, Chisholm could be seen leaving the bathroom at 3:07 p.m., meaning that the brutal rape and murder of Colleen happened over about a 13-minute time span. When he emerged, Chisholm again had his hood pulled over his head. He could then be seen walking to the school's parking lot. 2 minutes later, he reappeared on the video surveillance, this time wearing a fresh white t-shirt. He could then be seen pulling a rolling recycling bin from the classroom, now with a red hooded sweatshirt draped over his head. He rolled the container to the bathroom at roughly 3:16 p.m. and shortly after he left again, still wearing the white t-shirt. He then rolled the bin containing Colleen's body towards the school elevators. And once he was on the ground floor, he rolled the recycling can off of the campus, taking it to a wooded area behind the school. Once there, Chisholm dumped Colleen's lifeless body and proceeded to return, but not before sexually assaulting her remains with a tree branch. Once he got back to the campus, he could be seen wearing a black t-shirt, carrying a pair of bloody jeans. Police now knew that something terrible had happened to Colleen Ritzer, and Philip Chisholm was the prime suspect, but no one knew where the 14-year-old was. It turns out that Chisholm had gone into town and used Colleen's credit card to purchase a movie ticket. After he left the theater, he headed to another local store where he proceeded to steal a knife. It was around 12:30 a.m. on October 23rd that he was spotted walking down a darkened highway outside of town, and he was stopped by police for a routine safety check. When officers on the scene frisked the teenager, they found Colleen Ritzer's credit cards and driver's license. And when asked how he came to possess the items, he told police that he had found them at a Stop and Shop. Chisholm was taken into custody and brought to the police station, and once there, police conducted a more extensive search of the teenager's belongings. Inside his backpack, they located Colleen's panties and purse. They also recovered the box cutter, which was covered in Colleen's dry blood. And when the police asked who the blood on the box cutter belonged to, he replied simply, "It's the girls." Authorities then asked if he knew where Colleen Ritzer was. And again, Chisholm responded, "She's buried in the woods."
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
It was roughly 3 a.m. on October 23rd, 2013, when Colleen Ritzer's remains were located in the woods near the school. The body was half naked and covered with leaves, and next to her remains was a pair of stained white gloves, along with a note that read, "I hate you all." 14-year-old Philip Chisholm was arrested and charged with the murder of Colleen Ritzer. And even though he was so young, he would be tried as an adult in Massachusetts court. Now, at trial, the defense didn't try to deny that Philip Chisholm had committed this awful crime. But they did argue that both his grandmother and aunt suffered from psychotic disorders, claiming that these genes were an indicator that Chisholm, now 16 years old, also suffered from psychosis. Dr. Richard Dudley, the defense expert psychiatrist, said that he observed many, quote, trauma-related symptoms. He also claimed that Chisholm seemed to have dissociated from certain childhood experiences. However, Dr. Dudley can never say precisely what type of trauma Chisholm had experienced, and the prosecution pushed back, arguing that Chisholm was well aware of what he was doing at the time. They pointed to the fact that the student had brought multiple changes of clothes with him on the day of the murder. Additionally, the prosecution subjected Chisholm to several psychiatric tests, and some of these tests are designed to tell whether a patient is, quote, faking good, making themselves look less sick than they really are, or faking bad, making themselves look more sick than they really are. And according to Dr. Nancy Hebben, who conducted most of these tests, Philip Chisholm was faking bad. And on December 15th, 2015, Philip Chisholm was found guilty of first-degree murder, aggravated rape, and armed robbery. He was sentenced to at least 40 years in prison without the possibility of parole. And at the sentencing, Colleen's family got to read their victim statements in the courtroom, with her father Tom saying, "I didn't protect Colleen. A dad's job is to fix things. I would do anything if I could fix this for Colleen." Colleen's mother, Peggy Ritzer, said of Chisholm, "He is pure evil, and pure evil can never be rehabilitated." Now, while in custody and awaiting his trial, Chisholm also attacked a second woman, a Massachusetts Department of Youth Services worker in Boston's Dorchester neighborhood. In June of 2015, while in their custody, Chisholm again followed the woman into a bathroom. Once inside, he proceeded to attack her with a pencil and attempted to strangle her, leaving injuries to her head, neck, face, and back. And shockingly, that case wasn't updated until April of this year. Now, Chisholm has pleaded guilty to the attack, but so far there have been no updates on additional sentencing for the crime. So, Olivia, that's this week's case. What are you thinking? Where's your head at?
This is just wild, John. I mean, this guy was under trial, waiting, and attacked somebody else. And the fact that this was so long ago and it took him this long to figure out that he attacked another woman while waiting is just absurd. I think the overkill that we've talked about is a lot. I think that I kind of agree with Colleen's mother that he's just an evil guy and sometimes evil can't be rehabilitated. I mean, he clearly didn't learn his first lesson and was brave enough to do it again. And in such public places of all things, you know, but this one was a little bone chilling.
I swear, I thought you were going to be like, and he didn't learn his fucking lesson. So I was waiting for you to drop that F-bomb, but
I'll let you drop it this week, John.
Right. Let me sprinkle it in there like the salt bay of the F-words, but no, I'm with you. Like, to think that you could commit this kind of heinous crime towards someone who by all accounts just seemed like a really sweet human being, you know, loved helping her students, loved what she did. And then a child who is 14 years old takes all of that away in less than 13 minutes. And then while on trial does the same thing to somebody else. It just is mind blowing to me. And I think, you know, as we go through, right, I don't know if Colleen was necessarily his target, but I did very much get the feeling that, like, he had planned on doing something to someone. Mm-hmm. That you bring multiple changes of clothes, a box cutter, you have gloves, like, you're planning on doing something to someone. And I don't know if she just kind of got on the radar, you know, right. But it's heartbreaking.
I also wonder, is he a big 14-year-old? Like, my nephew's 14. And yeah, he's strong and, you know, he's fast, but I feel like he could be overpowered. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like trying to think like me versus my nephew. Like, I feel like I'd be able to overpower him if it was in a dire case like that. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. So what I will tell you, he did seem tall. And if you are interested in watching the surveillance footage from the school, I did link it in the show description. Okay. In the notes. obviously it does not show what happens in the bathroom, right? But
right.
You can see him watching Colleen. You see him bring the recycling bin. So he's taller. Yeah. And, you know, in photos from his hearing, you know, about the state employee that he attacked, he's huge now. He's like 25 years old. So he's, you know, real big now. But
okay.
I just don't know. You know, and I don't know. I guess I could say I don't know, like, what possesses a 14-year-old child to do something like that. But then you think about, you know, just all of the terrible things that happen at school from students with mental health issues, you know. It was really hard to wrap my head around. Like, it's so violent and so intimate, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah. To think that the girl who walked in, if she just would have, and not like saying it, I just can't imagine like being that girl and being like, man, if I just would have caught something, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but what if he would have attacked her too? You know, yeah. You don't know that she could have been a victim as well.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like the way that it happened, it's almost impossible for it to happen that way with so many people being right. In school and, you know, like you're just noted some kid just wheeling off a recycling bin into the woods. Like, you know, somebody would
like, nobody's like, hey, that's odd. I mean, and it's just right at school ending time. Like 2:50 is like the time school's getting out. And I just, there's just so many moving parts and maybe no one really, maybe that helped him. Like not everybody was on their way out and not paying attention. Who knows? I don't know. I just feel like that's a very brave time.
Yeah. And to thankfully, attack a teacher. Oh, yeah. And thankfully, the security system was very new. So if this would have happened like a month before, I don't know if they would have figured out what happened or figured it out like as quickly. That was a big thing in the research, was that they had just installed this system. And so they were able to, you know, go back and follow him, his movement. So I don't know. It's just heartbreaking. I think about her parents and.
Yeah, she's my age.
Yeah.
We've been my age. We were born the same year.
Yeah. You know, like you got your whole life ahead of you. You're still, you know, you're a teacher. You're still in school. You're working to better yourself. And
yeah, she's just starting her career right there.
Yeah. And it's just all taken so fast. You know, it's like that shouldn't happen to anybody.
No, not at all.
Well, if we're talking deadbolt tests, where does something like this fall for you? I know it's kind of a weird one, right? Because you're not a teacher. Anything like that, but I'm just curious, like, what is something like this rate on that deadbolt test for you?
Well, my sister's a teacher. It's a 10 for me, John. It's a 10.
Yeah.
It's a 10. Yeah, this is a 14-year-old attacking a teacher at 2:50 in the afternoon in the bathroom with security cameras. Like, he planned this out. He obviously knew to bring the hoodies. He had to have mapped out where that recycling bin was. Like, all the things had to play out just right for him not to get caught. It's a 10 for me.
Yeah, I'm there with you. And I think the reason I was thinking that, you know, I'm putting in a 10 as well, but this particular case took place in a school. You know what I mean? But like, what if you were at the doctor's office, or what if you, you know, were, I mean, anywhere, right? Like mm-hmm. sitting in an insurance agency, you know what I mean? Like, you just see a 14-year-old kid looks totally unassuming. And next thing you know, you're in the bathroom and they're like right up on you, you know, like that's, and again, I just think it's scary that there can be evil like that. And it manifests in someone in like such a young age, you know, like it honestly, I don't know. I know you're not like a big horror movie fan, but a lot of it reminded me of like, kind of like the Michael Myers, right? It's just this like crazy evil that's just motivating this kid, you know? And I feel bad for his parents and family because mm-hmm. he's ruined their life. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah. I feel like he's just an evil person. And there are evil people among us. And he, I think, is one of them.
100%. Well, that is where we fall on the deadbolt test. Olivia and I are both coming in at 10s. I think that's two like Monday episodes in a row that we're both hitting those 10s. But as always, we have to throw it out to the locksmiths, to the listeners. Where does the murder of Colleen Ritzer fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. Find us on Twitter, Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what are you doing? Come hang out with us. We're just shy of 800 members. We'd love to have you come be part of our family. And Olivia, this is normally where I kick it over to you and I'm like, hey, this was a rough case. We need something to kind of cheer it up, close out strong. But
I got nothing.
We got no reviews, y'all. We're out of them.
I have nothing. I need a review. I need a voicemail. I need love.
Well,
I feel
yes.
abandoned.
We definitely do this for, we need some kind of gratification. We need, you know, we need the
need the encouragement to keep going.
Yes. So if somebody wants to leave us a review so we can read it on the show and not feel so bummed out that we ran out of them, what is the best way to do that?
They need to go to the Apple Podcast app, go to our show's homepage, scroll down where you see all five of the purple stars, click all of those stars and leave us a little bit of love. And I just almost called those stars red. No clue why.
Well, I love that you say click all those stars because obviously your phone is in like night mode. So,
oh, yeah, it is.
And we're like almost 100 episodes in. I was just like, her phone's on night mode. That's why those are purple stars.
They're purple. What are they on everybody else? Not purple.
I think they might be yellow if you're not in night mode.
Mine are purple.
If you're using an iPhone, you're not in night mode. You got bigger problems than the colors
but
of the stars.
I think they're purple on my laptop as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I think, I don't know, my laptop might be set to night mode as well. So I don't know.
Well, click all those stars. Click all five of them.
Yeah, I don't care what colors they are.
Regardless of the color.
But yes, Olivia always says it best, so I don't have to. Apple Podcasts, tell us what you think. Click those stars. We'd love to hear from you. Also, we love sending stuff out. So if you do have the time, they really help us get into other shows' recommendations. They help new listeners find the shows. And also, like, we just like hearing from you. So again, if you have time, if you haven't already, leave us one of those reviews. We would absolutely love it. And as always, if you dig Check the Locks, you like what we do, you want to help support us financially, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks to get signed up today. We got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits. We got stickers, coffee mugs, all sorts of stuff you can only get for being a patron. Plus, you get the episodes ad-free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those dang commercials, Patreon is the way to go. So again, if you like what we do, you want to help us keep the lights on here at Check the Locks Studios Incorporated, you can do so at patreon.com/checkthelocks. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening and hanging out with us every week means just as much, if not more. So if that is you, you're hanging with us, you're telling people to check out the show, you're sending them some links, just know that means the world to us. Again, it's all about growing this community, this family, getting in front of as many listeners as we can. And that helps tremendously when you tell people to listen. So if that is what you're doing, just know that from the bottom of our hearts, we appreciate it so much. That is all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you're subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying true crime case, but until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.